Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
The Ohio State Supreme Court rules that boneless wings can have bones in them.
I saw this morning. I did not know what to think.
What?
It's just the style of cooking it?
Sports Talk Saturday.
Ohio Supreme Court ruled that foodies can't expect boneless wings to be completely bone-free.
They're boneless!
Stop it. Get some help.
Eat a bone with a bone in it, Deshaun.
But eat a bone with a bone in it.
On WGR.
This is open material, that's all I can say.
Sports Radio 550.
I'm boycotting Ohio.
Happy Saturday to everyone. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, here again with you on a Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.
Still boycotting Ohio.
Still apparently boycotting Ohio. I mean, I get it.
Have you crossed into Ohio since that episode?
When was that? That was in the summer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like I did.
To go to Indy?
Yes.
So maybe you did.
I made that open back in July.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So you've crossed into the
absolutely.
The threshold of bone-in, boneless wings. I have yet to.
I still have yet to order them.
Right. I beelined it to Pittsburgh last week, where you don't have to worry about that sort of thing.
Yeah, you don't have to even touch Ohio, actually. You're going the other way.
We were going down Lake Erie. If we kept going, we would have gone to Cleveland. So we just went south. Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So avoided Ohio. Still doing that.
Well, I'd be more scared if you managed to go into Ohio to get to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that would be scary. That would mean there's a navigational error at some point.
Someone did something wrong.
Yeah.
You, the phone, you and the phone. Someone did something wrong.
Hmm.
Multiple people would have done something wrong.
Things would not be right.
No.
And that would be bad.
No, not at all. But it's important. If you have to be in Ohio, just don't order wings.
Boneless wings.
Particularly also boneless wings.
You can order, I mean.
Hang on. Are you going to really trust
Ohio wings?
Right?
What if they're boneless and you order bone-in wings? You don't know what you're getting there. I just think it's too much of a.
It's a risk.
It's a gamble.
You can't do it. I'm all for risk-taking, not that.
Chicken finger. Like, what do we think? It's going to spiral here.
Yeah. Let's not do that here. No. We want to stay a little bit on point here. Things are going on around the sports landscape, in particular the Masters. Mm-hmm. Day three of the Masters going on. Justin Rose still up at the top of the leaderboard. And in a few moments, we'll talk with Jeff Mitas. Mm-hmm. He of Tee to Green, PGA Pro around here as well. And someone who we've all interacted with amongst a Saturday shift. If you've ever run the board for this show,
yeah,
you've run Tee to Green and you've helped out Brian, Kevin, and Jeff. Kev Sylvester yesterday stopped in studio with us for the Extra Point show, and that was a great time being able to effectively be on the same side of the glass as Kevin. That was nice because I don't remember the last time that he was here
other
in
than
studio,
the Christmas party.
Other than the Christmas party, yes. And I'm pretty sure it was one of the last times I was running a board.
Mm-hmm.
It was like their first show of a year, and Kevin, Jeff, and Brian were all in studio here. That was the last time I think I'd seen him sitting down in one of these chairs. I can't say the same for Jeff Mitas. Why? Because he's with us on the Western Hotline. Jeff, you couldn't make it. You couldn't make a stop in studio today?
Oh, I didn't know that was an option. Jeez, I would have loved to have seen you guys in person.
Hey, you know what?
I haven't been in studio in a long time. We used to always do it from the studio. And,
yeah, like the first episode of the year, you guys would usually stop in studio, take care of that, and then you guys would go on location from there.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've been doing this 22 years. I'm pretty sure the studio hasn't changed in 22 years.
I don't know what you're talking about.
A cardboard cutout of Gene Steratore. I mean,
that's different.
That might be it.
We have a new banner.
Okay, good. A couple bobbleheads, maybe.
That's two things.
Yeah.
And that's it. But, yeah, Kevin was saying the same thing yesterday. He's like, yeah, no, but it looks exactly the same as the last time I was sitting in here. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's how it goes.
I heard changes are coming, though. So
changes are who sits in these chairs, like me and Joe. that's where it is. Anyway, Jeff.
Ready for the Masters?
Day three. And something that Kevin and I talked about yesterday, Rory McIlroy has the potential to storm back and get into the conversation. And lo and behold, Kevin called it, drained it. Rory McIlroy is back in the conversation at 6-under heading into day three.
Yeah, I didn't know if he could do it. The first day he seemed like, you know, he's been showing great form. He's the finest player on the planet in my mind, him and Scottie Scheffler. He's had a history there at Augusta where he struggled in the first rounds. And I thought, hey, he's broken this history. And then he had two double bogeys and three holes. And it's got to crush even the strongest willed person's spirit. But he came back with a beautiful round yesterday, 6-under. Now he's right back, 2 off the lead, 36 holes to go. Pretty impressive that he could do that. It just shows that he is such a fine player that even no matter what, he seems like he's just gonna find a way to be near the lead at the end of this. So I'm excited to watch this weekend.
A lot of your big names are pretty much threatening here for the jacket here. Scheffler at 5-under. You've got McIlroy right there. DeChambeau is 1 off the lead, and Justin Rose though is the one hanging in. Still holding on with such a promising start and hoping that he can keep that good momentum and the cushion that he established in day one as a weapon for him throughout the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, really hard to go back-to-back great rounds. You'll see that in golf all the time. Somebody with a real low score, the next day is the hardest day in the world to shoot a really good score for some reason. He fought through. You're going to have an off day. Today is moving day, as we say at the Masters. So today is going to be very important. You want to keep yourself in position. You want to shoot like he's got to shoot 2-3 under par. He can't tread water and shoot even par again today, or he might get steamrolled. So he's got to have a good day, but they all know that he's played in 20 of these already. So they're veterans. They're finely tuned. They're feeling very confident right now, although Augusta can, knock the confidence out of you real, real quick with a one little funny move somewhere, as Rory will let you know. So it's all I know is it's going to be a great event. It always turns out to be a great event year after year. I can't see anybody running away with it.
Jeff, Justin Rose, again, like you said, having a great first couple rounds. Bryson DeChambeau, for me, has been a standout just against the field. Looking at his stats and really improving. I mean, he's a psycho in the best way possible, right? Like what he's doing after round one, about 400 practice shots, right? Like he's just, I feel like, a student of the game, and it's really kind of showing out for the first time. Not for the first time, but really holding a stake in this Masters tournament.
Well, he's immensely talented. He's physically gifted, and he works hard. You know, some people, they have to work. We had this conversation on Tee to Green this morning. I think he feels like he has to outwork everybody to compete, and that's how he goes about things. Other players do it. Some may not do it on the range. Some might do it at the gym. Some might do it with their psychologist. So all those different things. Plus, he's been entertaining, and he's played well in the majors. His game seems to be translating. He's definitely matured as a player and as a person, or it seems like it. He's even said that he used to think, you know, he made comments like Augusta's a par 68 because he had such length. that now he's going to approach the golf course a little differently after he's played it a bunch more times and a little more of a savvy approach, a little better, a more cerebral attack of the course instead of just trying to overpower it all the time. But he can play very well. He does it his way. He's not someone you want to copy, but he plays his game that works for his brain, and he's supremely confident right now also.
Jeff Metis of Tee to Green PGA Pro joining us on the West Hur Hotline as day three of the Masters is underway. Your big names atop the leaderboard, they're going to be getting started closer to around 2 o'clock or later here, as it is, as Jeff called it, moving day for the Masters. For me, I'm on Scheffler. I think that when I spoke with Kevin yesterday, he mentioned that Scheffler does seem to get that pop now from the crowd. Not quite Tiger pop, but he is very clearly the one of the more popular players on the tour and one that fans really do like to flock to.
Oh, yeah, Scheffler is very popular. I think Rory's probably the face of the tour right now. But I would say Scheffler's second in line. People gravitate towards him because he's got an easygoing personality. He's friendly. He's personable. He seems very down to earth. And he's amazing. He's looking to win 3 out of 4 or something. He's been playing so good, and he seems like, you know, he's going to be in contention in the majors no matter what. Wherever the major is, he's such a fine ball striker. He's putting better. He's had a Tiger-esque. It's not quite Tiger, but he had a Tiger-esque year last year. There haven't been many years that were that good. But he's impressive, and yeah, it's hard not to root for him, although I am rooting for Rory so he can be one of the only players in history to have a career Grand Slam, which is having won each of the majors.
Jeff, you mentioned moving day. Is there anybody that's kind of lower down in the pack that you're kind of expecting to see make that jump up towards the top of the leaderboard, maybe make their presence known once again?
The person that's popping out in my mind that I can't wait to watch this morning is Colin Morikawa. I think he's been playing well. He's been right around it. He's had a few hiccups. He's such a fine iron player. He's been playing well this year. He's only 4 or 5 back. I think he's at 3 under. So he's still got a chance, and he's going out early. I think he's got a really good chance of posting a score and getting in one of the last groups tomorrow. And then you never know. That guy knows how to win majors too. So very good player.
So, Jeff, one of the other players, I'm going to screw up his name so bad here, Ludvig Åberg.
Ludvig Åberg, yes.
Åberg, he was in the top three yesterday, and then he ended up dropping down. He had himself a rough day two here. He had a couple bogeys in a row, and then a couple that actually end it as well to shoot 73 on the day. What do you think Oberg's capable of here when it comes to it? It's his second Masters start, and someone that is trying to become one of those newer names for people to be remembering.
Well, I think he's a newer name for a lot of casual golf fans, for hardcore golf fans like myself. We've known who he is for a while. I feel like this is redundant. Immensely talented, gifted physically. I think he finished second last year in his first Masters.
He did.
And, you know, he hasn't been playing as well this spring as he has all of last year. He was a phenom at times. And, you know, he's super young still, and he's gifted and talented. And I think he feels like he can win because he's shown he can play and beat the best players in the world. So that's a good thing. And plus he's too young to not know what he doesn't know, you know, and he hits such good shots and such quality shots, and he's so flexible and strong. And he's got a great mindset. Watch how quickly he plays golf. The golf psychologists will tell you all the time that, the quicker you play, the better you play, typically. And I don't know if you guys play. When you play, if you're running around with your buddies playing real fast, you tend to play great. If you're playing really slow, sometimes it's hard to play as well. But he gets up and hits it a very long way. Very good putter. There's not a weakness in his game. But you're also competing against the best players in the world. They're like Olympic athletes. They train like Olympic athletes. Their games are finely tuned, and they all point and peak towards this event. So the winner this week is certainly going to earn it.
Jeff, Phil Mickelson, a name that has resonated in pro golf for many years. I feel like he's starting to, not starting to, but he's showing his age. very much with this tournament. What are your thoughts on him and his game? And you know, he ended up getting cut, but just how he did play, is this kind of the end for him?
Oh, he's way past his peak in his prime, and he's also playing on LIV, which is a lot less competitive than the PGA Tour. Guaranteed cuts, guaranteed money, 3-day events instead of 4-day events, you know, parties and this, all that kind of, you know, wearing shorts and music on the course. It's a different scene. He's in his 50s. I think he's 56 or something like that. I'm sorry, that was my dog. I think he's way past his prime. He's a past champion, so he'll be there every year. He still plays, obviously, very well. But, you know, he got beat by Bernhard Langer and Freddie Couples, who are both also much older than him. I do think he is never, ever going to win a PGA Tour event again. I doubt he'll win a LIV event again. I don't think he's showing much form. He didn't play that bad. He still has a fan base. But he's riding off into the sunset, if you ask me.
Not the only notable LIV golfer missing the cut after day two there. Brooks Koepka also getting the axe at that +5. A couple of these guys, outside of DeChambeau, there's really not a lot from LIV representing well as of late, and especially within the Masters so far heading into day three.
You know, I feel like Koepka had some good events after he went over there in the mm-hmm. majors. You know, he competed at Oak Hill and things like that. But he, I don't want to start, but it's a place your golf game goes to die almost, I think, on the LIV Tour. You take the guaranteed money and you're one of the best players in the world, but there's no, you're not hungry anymore. You know, those guys, him and John Rahm, who I think just made the cut on the number, players like that, they're into the majors for a while because they won a major, so they're exempt in. But I don't think they can keep their games as sharp or can be nearly as competitive playing on the LIV Tour than they could be playing on the PGA Tour, where every week it's just, if you're not playing good, there's somebody else who's playing really good. And there's a million young guns in addition to the Scottie Schefflers and the Colin Morikawas and the Rory McIlroys. And I can go on and on and on and on about great players. And I think any one of the people on the top of this leaderboard would be kicking butt on LIV right now if they were playing out at LIV, but I don't think you maintain your game sharpness playing there.
Jeff, more on DeChambeau for a second with LIV. I feel like he does so much on his own, right? Just the break 50 challenges. He's kind of, I guess, separated himself from the rest of the pack a little bit, and he's working on his own content creation brand and golf more than being a LIV golfer. Like, what do you think about that? Is that why he's able to stay so sharp? All these things he does, you know, for views and things like that, does that help?
Yeah, you know, I think anything you're doing when you're engaging in golf, and what you can tell about, you know, I'm not the biggest Bryson fan in the world, but I like what he does. He's bringing people to the game. You can tell he has a genuine love of the game, or he wouldn't be doing these things, because he doesn't need to be, you know, but he has fun doing it. You know, when he was hitting those shots over his house, trying to make a hole in one, that challenge, he has lots of stuff. People love his content. I think a lot of younger people, young kids, think he's the coolest thing since sliced bread, and they're happy to watch him. So I do think what he does is great for golf, and he brings a lot to the game. And he brings eyeballs too. A lot of people are going to be rooting for him this weekend, and a lot of people are going to be watching because he's playing. And so I think it's good. And he's still younger, and he's still got a lot of golf ahead of him. And he does seem to really take care of his body, really work hard on his game. He does seem to have that inner fire burning. And he, you know, whatever they say, the LIV events, if they're playing in these majors, that's their biggest events of the year. So those players are pointing towards this event too and trying to prepare. But he just seems to be doing a better job than all the others right now.
Absolutely. And I have one more question on a golfer in the pack. John Rahm, he was favored to be within the top 10. And he's tied for 22nd right now at 3 under. I mean, it's not the worst thing, but at the same time, I feel like he's fallen flat of expectations a little bit going into this Masters tournament.
And another LIV guy who, you know, it seems from his comments that he almost regrets going to LIV. And he's one of the biggest proponents of getting LIV and the PGA Tour back together. He's always promoting that. You know, Augusta's very hard. If you're not tournament prepared and if you're not firing 100%, even if you're the best player in the world, one or two loose swings or, you know, a couple loose putts, and things can escalate really quick on you and get you in trouble there. So if you're not as sharp as you'd like to be, or your swing is not as sharp as you'd like it, or there's a certain shot you're really not comfortable hitting right now, it's going to press you and test you. You know, the ball above your feet, below your feet, wedges, long irons, drivers, the whole bag needs to be worked well there. And I don't know if he's firing on all cylinders. It's hard for players to always peak. You know, Jack Nicklaus won 18 majors. How many did he play in over 40 years? You know, he played in 80s or whatever it is. He's played in hundreds of tournaments, and he still don't win it every time. And Tiger didn't win every major. So it is hard to compete, but I also do think he's another one of those players, and to be redundant, but like, he went to live, and I think that's where games go to get less good.
Jeff, meet us on the West Hur Hotline as day three of the Masters is getting started. Most of your top of the leaderboard getting started just after 2 o'clock. Jeff, last thing here for you. Yesterday, Kevin called his shot, saying that Rory McIlroy has the potential to storm back into these things. It's moving day, so I'm going to give you a chance to call yours. Who you got as a favorite to shuffle up? You did mention Morikawa. Anyone else that's on your radar for who could end up in the top three or four heading into the final day?
Well, I think Rory's, in my mind, I think Rory's poised to win. And I think he goes out, he's got a nice pairing today. I think it's good. He's not in the last group. He can just go out and play. He's been playing great. He had two doubles. He's, you know, missed a couple short ones. So everything hasn't gone his way, but he's just been playing so good. He's won two events already this year, including the Players Championship. This is the only thing that he hasn't done in professional golf that will, you know, this is the final candle on his birthday cake if he wins this, because that would be great for him. Pressure of the world's on, but he's got a little edge lately, and I like it, and I think he's super focused, and you know that in a way it's good. He had the bad 4 over in 3 holes for a tour player is awful, and that's behind him, and that'll sharpen his focus for the rest. And he's lucky that it happened early in the event as opposed to late in the event. So I'm thinking Rory's going to be putting on the green jacket at the end of tomorrow afternoon.
I love it, Jeff. And first of all, I miss being able to see you guys on the regular. I don't miss waking up red eye at 5 a.m. to get here, but I do miss being able to work with you guys more consistently. But I appreciate being able to hear from you here today, Jeff.
Yeah, 5 a.m. is my normal wake up time, so it's really not that difficult. Come on, you're in the golf business; you get up early every day.
Well, I'm not in the golf business, my guy. I'm not. Like, I talk about it sometimes, but that's pretty much it. I don't. You know me.
Early to rise. Yeah, early to bed, early to rise. That's the motto. Yeah.
But Jeff, it's always good to talk to you.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course.
And enjoy watching the Masters this weekend. It's always a great watch.
It's always a great watch, and as Jim Nantz says, it's a tradition unlike any other.
That's right. All right, enjoy your day, gentlemen.
That's Jeff Mitas on the West Hur Hotline there, day three of the Masters. Again, your leaderboard getting started closer to like 2 o'clock at the top of it. And then your last tee time from DeChambeau and Rose at 2:40.
Mm-hmm. That'll be an interesting group to watch.
That's an interesting pair.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that I like the little reunion tour that I got for the weekend. Talked to Kevin Sylvester yesterday.
Oh,
talked
yeah.
to Jeff Mitas today. I'm giving Brian Koziel a break because I bugged him, I think, in back-to-back weeks. especially because I kept asking him about the freaking Sabres.
The freaky-deaky Sabres.
And, you know, at some point I probably would have blobbed something out about that. So, you know, I'm going to spare him that torment for the moment. But I won't spare Paul Hamilton of that torment because I'm going to have him on at noon to talk about the Sabres. And as their season is wrapping up all throughout next week.
Yeah, locker cleanouts next Friday.
Yes.
That'll be the end of it.
That'll be the end of this tormentous season. But anyway, on to bigger and better things there. Again, catching the Masters, even a casual like myself, which I credit the guys from Tee to Green for making me a casual.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was always dismissive of golf entirely. And now I will watch the major events.
Yeah.
Because of those three.
They're genuinely, okay, before we go to break.
The boys, they're easy to work with. They're great people, consummate professionals.
Mm-hmm. And golf events in general, I had avoided for most of my young adult life, right? Like in high school, I wasn't sitting down to watch the Masters because I always dismissed it. Oh, my grandpa watches golf. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where now I sit down, you know, starting to play it more frequently. I sit down, and I think a lot of people relate to this. You learn about the sport in a way, it almost is reminiscent of sitting down to watch your first NFL game.
Yes.
Sitting down to watch your first hockey game. Like, you're becoming a student of that game in a
way. Doing the show, mm-hmm. Working the show as a producer, I learned about the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brian, Kevin, and Jeff, they would do a great job of explaining things.
Mm-hmm.
And explaining things to people that might not know what the hell they're talking about.
Right. If you've only played Wii Sports. Like, that might be your, you know, lowest score wins might be your only bit of knowledge. Right.
So, did I ever take them up on the free offers to play golf? No. Should I have? Probably. Do I have a bad back anyway? Yes.
Mm. The bad back will do it.
The bad back, I mean, everyone has a bad back. Golfer, non-golfer, once you get to a certain part. Once your back is ruined, it's ruined. But, you know, I did joke with Kevin yesterday about that. I was like, I may not have taken up the offer, but I do now have a bad back like you guys. So there's that.
You have a bad guy like a PGA Pro.
Anyway.
Look at that.
I got it for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. But it's always great to talk to those guys, and I'm sure we will do plenty more of that in the future. But we go to break now, and we come back, and we're open for a little bit here. 803-0550. The Bills, we're 2 weeks from the draft, or less than, officially. Less than 2 weeks from day one of the NFL draft. I'm getting into sicko mode at this point. I'm writing the mock draft to put out next week, and I cannot wait at this point. I'm actually genuinely excited. What is your dream scenario? What is your nightmare scenario for the Bills in the first round? 803-0550 is the number to call. Derek Kramer, Joe Cali. This is Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There was a bit of a sense that the course was playing a little bit differently today. A bit windier, for sure, out of a slightly different direction. So just trying to make some of those adjustments. I think it was a fairly favorable wind for the golf course, though, in general, which is why I think you're seeing some good scores. From my point of view, decent day, for sure. My wedge was good, you know, kept me, you know, some really good up and downs, actually, on holes like number 4, number 8, number 10. So, that kind of really kept, you know, the round was in a good spot.
That's the top of the Masters leaderboard. Justin Rose, 8 under par.
8 under.
He's had a
third oldest in Masters history, by the way. Outright 36 hole leader, straight from the Masters stats.
Yes, right
on
there.
The television right now.
Right there on it right there. But Rose also, he did largely have his round one carry him through to the second day.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Mita saying last segment, you know, it's tough to shoot back-to-back like that as well as you do. So you try to just hold serve based off of what you do on such a strong first day.
Yeah.
But Rose at the top of the leaderboard, Bryson DeChambeau there right behind him, Rory McIlroy 2 strokes behind, Scottie Scheffler 3 strokes behind at 5 under, with a couple of smattering of other names in their mix as well. But there's your notables. And the top of the leaderboard getting started closer to 210. That's nice and exciting, though.
Yeah, I guess
you got big names pretty much back to back on those groups.
Mm-hmm.
You got Scheffler, then you'll end up getting McIlroy, then you end up with DeChambeau and Rose.
Yeah, and Scheffler, it looks like if he wins, it'd be the third time in a 4-year span, and only Jack Nicklaus has done it.
Yeah, no, Scheffler has a chance to really dominate the Masters tournament, and that's a big deal
mm-hmm.
to be able to dominate Augusta like that.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting. Again, as a someone who's getting into this rather, you know, new, I should say, I'm a novice. This is exciting to watch. The competitiveness of it is there this year. You have your favorite, like you said, 3 points behind, like
yep,
3 strokes out from the lead, and everybody up there with them is a Goliath at this point. So I feel like it's a solid year
And the other thing is that you're getting guys with these bogey-free rounds, and it's a big way to help you keep yourself in contention or put yourself into it. McIlroy, he has that bogey-free round on Friday after a terrible first day. Not terrible, but like not great. It was a collapse at the end.
How does it say this week is my question. If technically he did he not? He had to have.
I don't know what the – don't worry about what they say with the television prompts, man. Don't worry about it. So – but McIlroy, it really is like you have a chance for a big name to finally get that career grand slam, or someone like Scheffler where it's – he's dominating this tournament all of a sudden, winning three of the last four. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
He has a chance to, I should say. Or you have DeChambeau, who is pretty much the only one from LIV that really is constantly in contention.
Yeah. I mean, you see him, though.
And then Rose, who is one of the older players to have success right now at the Masters, and see if he can keep his high play up.
Yeah. And Rose's age, too. It's not surprising, but it's admirable that he's even doing what he's doing right now compared to these younger guys. So
and it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can keep things going and stay up at the top of the leaderboard, that's a big deal. So there's plenty of good story to have here within where things go. A guy like Oberg, who finished second last year in his first go-round at Augusta. So how do you follow it up? That's a big deal. You want to see where that is. He's at 3-under.
Mm-hmm.
See if he can storm back into the conversation. There's
a lot. 3-under at Augusta is not a bad score either. Yes. Like, that's the thing. You're just playing against the best of the best. Mm-hmm. Like that's how this is.
I forgot the name on this one. I'm going to look it up real quick. But someone shot a 90. It was, I think, 18 over 90.
Someone shot that? They were plus 18?
At the first day.
So you're plus 18.
Plus 18.
I do worse, so I can't say anything.
Yes. But then, from what I read, all right, it was Nick Dunlap.
Mm-hmm. Has he ever played golf?
He shot 18 over 90 on Thursday. He goes 1-under on Friday.
Yeah, just the ebbs and flows. You never know what can happen.
He was still, unfortunately, last on the leaderboard because he shot 18 over.
Well, so he shot 90. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because the par 72. Yeah. So
yeah, he shot 90 on Thursday.
Unbelievable.
And then he goes 1-under on Friday. That's awesome.
It's awesome, but also I feel for him because he really got it going that second. Not really got it going, but he had a better understanding of the course clearly and what he needed to do. And just, yeah. Oh, tough break. Shooting 18 over. That'll do it, though. That'll end it.
Yeah. No, like what a dynamic shift in your success over the failure of the previous day. Like, how do you get out of bed after that, though? Like,
yeah, because especially all the media attention that gets, because there's nothing like that happens, at least this season, this year. It's just kind of crazy. 18 over. Wow.
Yeah.
But good on you for coming back.
Coming back in the next day, and you shoot a 1-under.
That's you know, we said admirable for...
for me,
for
like
Rose
that.
At his age, that's admirable to get back out there, get back on the horse,
get back out there and just be like, all right, that happened yesterday. I'm never going to worry about the, like, I think there is something easy to that of like, if you do so poorly, you can then turn around and go, I know I'm not going to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like all your pressure's off.
Right.
Like if you lose 13 straight games, you can turn around to the rest of your guys and go, oh, we're not doing that again. And then you proceed to not.
At least he stuck to it.
Yeah.
The little engine that could. Like, that's the story, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But you look back on something disastrous and you just go, well, we all know that can't happen again. So let's just go ahead and see what we do now.
Right. The worst of the worst has happened.
The worst of what you could do has happened.
We've hit the valley. Now it's time to go attempt to get back up. Get back
that's
to the
tough.
Peak.
It is. But I like that he was able to manage to... from so poorly, then go back to, hey, I shot 1-under at Augusta. That's awesome.
He went from Nate Peterman to like Derek Carr within a day span.
Speaking of Derek Carr, the Saints have now kind of turned the ninth overall pick into a very interesting scenario there, as Derek Carr is dealing with a shoulder injury that may take his 2025 season into major question.
Mm. And, yeah, the Saints, where they're picking, might have another
option.
The report,
according to Catherine Terrell of ESPN, Saints quarterback Derek Carr has a shoulder injury that could put his entire 2025 season in jeopardy, as they are about to start OTAs on Monday. Not OTAs, just like they're beginning their offseason training program.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Not as, good.
Hey, Kellen Moore, one of the few things that's like okay on this team is now hurt. You have Alvin Kamara. You have Chris Olave. You also have Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener at quarterback. Tell me they're not taking a quarterback now.
They're going to have to.
Yeah, their quarterback roster is Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener, and Ben DiNucci. No, he's not going to do it. Their roster's too bad, too terrible. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right? There's no way they do. There's no way he does it.
They're not a contending team in any way.
No,
so
they're
there's
not.
No way. He's going to be picky if he goes anywhere, which I think people need to be more picky with him than he's picky with teams.
But. Yes. But the Saints do have $27 million in cap space.
Yeah. It doesn't look like Pittsburgh's happening for him as of right now.
So now, ready? That report, if I'm a Steelers fan and I'm hoping for at least some kind of quarterback in the draft, this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Saints are very much a viable option at 9 to take a quarterback. I might even think they're a trade-up candidate.
Now, I have to ask, since we're getting a little bit of NFL sprinkled in here, do the Giants take a quarterback? With Russell Wilson, with Jameis Winston?
They might.
Who do you think that quarterback is?
I mean, it would be Sanders.
You think so?
Is Jackson Dart a third overall quality player?
No.
And I think that Cam Ward does go number one overall. Because there's no way I'm selling to the Titans fans, whichever 17 of them are left, that Will Levis is a starting quarterback.
I think...
You can't.
That head coach in Brian Daboll might have his eye on somebody.
Daboll probably... Do you think Daboll's got Dart on his board?
I think he's got Will Howard on his board.
Howard's a second rounder at best.
I think he's got him. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I know, but like the thing is that they're picking three.
I know that. You might honestly see. I think there might be a team more desperate for those quarterbacks
to make an offer
because he's got Wilson this season. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but I think if the Giants are gonna take a quarterback in the first round, it would have to be to trade back into it. Or they're taking Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be one or the other. There's no, like, Will Howard. It's like, no.
I think he's very reminiscent of Bill's quarterback that.
Nathan Peterman?
No. No. Dual threat wise, I got to say.
No.
Will Howard looks very similar to.
Honestly, to me, Will Howard's not even someone I would consider in my first three rounds of picks.
No?
No.
I don't know. We might be surprised. I think he might go in the first round, whether it be to New York or someone else.
I don't know what you're hearing or what you're looking at, my guy. There's no way.
We'll talk about it more.
Yes, we will. We'll have to talk about it.
When we get
more.
To our mock draft simulator and all that, the yes. jazz today.
Yes. So the Saints, though, they become a more fascinating team because of this, because now you have to do something at quarterback, right? Who's available other than Rodgers? It's not much. So that turns into a very interesting thing of where the Saints might go at pick 9. How aggressive would they get? Maybe even make a trade up to see if they can get someone in a closer range. Because maybe like you want to make sure that the Jets avoid even threatening to take a quarterback. Or if the Giants do not take a quarterback at 3, New England, say Travis Hunter's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Peak trade-out candidate at that point is the Patriots. New Orleans jumps in there at 4, goes and takes a guy like Sanders, and then that's that.
Yeah.
Because I think the other thing is you need someone that could probably play as soon as possible.
Yeah, you want to draft somebody ready to go because you don't want to have...
And Sanders may have a lot of work that he still has to do.
But is he still tanking interviews or is he fine?
I think he's fine. I don't know what this nonsense is
like
about.
That came out of nowhere. Like he was just...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And ready? We're in the month of April.
April Fools.
Smokescreen season. Not even April Fools. It's smokescreen season. There's a lot that you cannot take seriously.
Right.
Like you mentioning Will Howard.
I've got some stats behind that I'm ready to bring out.
All
so.
Right. I'm gonna hear them and not listen to them. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
I'll hear you. I'm not gonna listen to you.
That's fine.
But at least I'm making that clear in front of you.
Yeah.
All right. We come back. Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next. There's a lot of goofballs this week. There's a lot to dunk on, and we have not a lot of time to do it here on WGR. Booty Cheek of the Week here on a Sports Talk Saturday. And I'm going to start out, it's me. Why is it me? Because I listened to Joe during the break talking more about Will Howard. That's my fault. That's my fault for letting him say more about it. And we'll let him speak his case coming up later. But there's a lot that has happened within the week and a lot of targets. Joe, there's a lot here. Why don't you let us know who might be one of those people as Trevor Howard walks in?
I'm going to go, since I think there could be multiple this week, I'm going to go on the fun side of it, I guess.
Yes.
Just torturing movie theater employees, these Gen, I guess, Z, Alpha, whatever they are, children. A Minecraft movie recently hit theaters. And this line...
Chicken jockey!
...has stirred... the country into a riot. I don't know if you've seen. I've shown you.
My Minecraft experience is...
Has nothing to do with chicken jockeys.
No, I know. So. But like my nephew likes Minecraft sometimes. That's my Minecraft knowledge right there.
Understood. So, Evan, one more time.
Oh, no.
Chicken jockey.
Chicken jockey. Is the booty cheek of the week because it's caused a bunch of children to destroy movie theaters, throw popcorn, bring live chickens into movie theaters.
Who the hell is smuggling in a live chicken to a movie theater?
You put it under your shirt and your jacket. They don't check anymore. You can bring snacks into any movie theater. When we were kids.
A chicken?
Snacks and a live
chicken.
Dude, you could crack an egg. You can have it lay eggs in the movie theater.
As someone
start cooking.
Who enjoys eating chicken, a live chicken is not a snack.
Well, the chicken jockey has taken over America, and the teens ruining movie theaters and making movie theater workers pay.
So basically, you're doing a those damn kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell Paul.
I think we did a movie theater one a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
But yeah, that's so. The chicken jockey movement is my booty cheek.
All right. So I've got a couple here. I'm going to go quick on this one. First of all, spitting chiclets. Here we go. Welcome back to the Target.
Biz
area here. Not Biz. This was Ryan Whitney.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It was saying that they keep winning when it doesn't matter. Classic Buffalo fashion. You're telling me, Chicklets, that you want the team 10 years to the most aggressive tank that we've seen in recent history to try to tank again. Get out. Anyone that likes spitting Chicklets that lives in Buffalo, I don't know what the hell you're doing anymore. Let them go. But they're so fun of personalities. Yeah, and when they talk about Buffalo, they're constantly in a point where it's not logical anymore. It is hate just to hate. There are plenty of good reasons to hate the Buffalo Sabres. Them winning at the end of this season is not one of them. Making up a report that Rasmus Dahlin wants out of Buffalo
Gonzo's.
Is not one of them.
Gonzo's was the word used. Not even a real word.
I do kind of want to carry around on the street if there's the Chicklets Cup in Buffalo again. I want to carry a sign around the street that says, get out of here, signed all of Buffalo. Just say that you want Rasmus Dahlin in Toronto, okay?
No,
just say it.
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
Exactly.
That should be the sign right there.
And the other one is amateur golfer Jose Luis Ballester. Look, man, I get it. When you got to go, you got to go. But you've got a plan, man. You cannot urinate in Ray's Creek in the first round of the Masters, where they do not allow you to even have your cell phone. I'm kind of surprised the man was just not like,
The disposable cameras caught it, everybody. It's going to take 1 to 2 weeks to get the film, but they caught it.
So, look, that's poor planning.
Yeah.
Kevin Sylvester and I talked about this yesterday, and he brought up that, there's places to have, there's places for your bathroom break.
Forgot to ask Jeff as well about Scottie Scheffler lurking in the shadows in the bushes.
That was great, though.
But
Ballester ends up having to go, urinates in the creek, and come on. You can't do that.
Nope.
You can't do that.
Is that public urination?
I feel like it is, but also, that's not my main crux of this. This is poor planning. When I go on a road trip, I go to the bathroom when I go and get food. That's it. Have a plan. You got to have a plan. It's all strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of strategy, we got to get out so we can start talking to Paul Hamilton.
About the Sabres.
The Sabres are close to the end of this nightmarish season.
Yep.
They have 4 games left to play within a week span.
Yeah, Toby Maguire is slowing the train down.
It's going to be a nice little bit there. But I do love something about their upcoming schedule. And we'll talk with Paul about that coming up next.